Megillus. No, it's
there's the introduction. A few words of introduction to Tiferus. Well, thanks for sticking with us until now. The first four words of Sefer Rus, Vayihi b'mei shvayt ha-shayftim, it wasn't the day that the judges judged. So one might think that the Sefer is giving you a point of reference. You want to know when the events happened? It happened at the point of history when the judges judged.
What would it mean after?
That's all. That's the only words we're doing today from this pasuk.
By Hebe may what?
Shvayt ha-shayftim. It was when the judges judged. The problem with this approach is that the judges judged for a period of 350 years. They judged from the death of Yeshua. Yeshua brought the Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. They captured Eretz Yisrael from the Knanim. And when he passed away, then the judges took over.
When Yeshua
passed away, the judges took over.
Until?
And they ruled. There was a series of judges that ruled until the time of King Saul, which was 350 years. So, the pasuk is not narrowing it down at all. It's not, So if you want to know when the events took place, the source for this is a Gemara in Bava Basra. And I'm not going to go into all the chronology, I'll give you the dates. But the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf, Tzadok Aleph, Amud Aleph, identifies some of the figures in Sefer Rus. Here's the Gemara. Boaz figures prominently in Sefer Rus. Boaz is the one that ultimately marries Rus. Boaz is the great grandfather of David HaMelech. Who is Boaz? Boaz is not mentioned in any other Sefer but Rus. You look throughout all of Tanakh, you're not going to find Boaz anywhere else. So the Gemara tells us who Boaz was. And the Gemara tells us Boaz is otherwise known as Ivtson.
How do you spell that?
Aleph Vez Tzadik Nun Sofis.
One more time.
Aleph Vez Tzadik Nun Sofis. Ibsen and Boaz are the same thing. Who is Ibsen? This is right here in Babasa, Tzadik Aleph, from an Aleph.
Okay.
Ibsen, the Gemara says, I'm a Rabba by Rahuna, I'm a Rab. Rabba by the son of Huna, says in the name of Rab. Ibsen said Boaz. So you don't know who Boaz is Ibsen. So the Gemara identifies, even though Boaz is not mentioned by that name anywhere else, but he was known by another name, Ibsen, and we know when Ibsen lived.
When did it?
And I'll tell you. The Gemara says that Ibsen was someone that he made. He had 30 sons, he had 30 daughters, and he married them all off. And his two sons and daughters, they came to a tragic end.
All 60 of them?
Yeah. Boaz was childless. At the time of Sefer Rus, Boaz was childless.
How old was Boaz at the time? He was old, right?
It was the last day of his life.
Wasn't he really rich?
No, but how old?
Yes, he was wealthy.
I don't know
the exact age.
Malach or something like that?
What?
Didn't like Hashem have a deal with, like, with, the Zahara? Something, Satan.
Yeah, what?
Said, like, I bet you Boaz, because, like, he, because Boaz was, like, pretty...
Maybe you're thinking of Eif.
Was it Eif?
Maybe you're thinking of Eif. But Boaz was wealthy.
That he made 60 suttas, 60 hasanas.
He made two mishtas for each one. So 60 kids, he made two mishtas. He made two mishtas. It's 120 chasna suddhas, and he didn't invite someone by the name of Manoach. Manoach
was the father of
Shimshon, but he wasn't the father of Shimshon yet. Him and his wife were childless. And Boaz had 60 kids, and he didn't invite Manoach, and Manoach felt hurt. He felt excluded, and there was a repercussion, and the consequence was, for not inviting the Manoach, for every child that Boaz did not invite Manoach to his mishta, that child died. So Boaz had 60 children. He made mishtas for 60 children. He didn't invite Manoach to any of those, so all his children died. And then Manoach, no, it doesn't. The Chazal don't talk about him in such high glory. It doesn't in such high glory terms.
Invite him. He's got to be something big.
No, they don't talk about him in such high glory terms.
Why?
Yeah, we're going to talk about David HaMelech. Why? Where David HaMelech came from? There's a whole.
Like, why should he have been invited? Who cares?
Well, the Chazal say that the reason why he didn't invite him is because he didn't feel that he counted because he was childless.
Oh.
Someone that's not part of the Hemshech HaIlam, someone that's not part of... There's a medrash that talks about the Migdal Bavel. The Migdal Bavel, they wanted to get everyone. They wanted to get everyone, and if they would have had everyone, Chazal say they would have been successful.
Who's the father of Shimshon?
Manoach, yeah.
What's Migdal David?
Migdal Bavel. The Tower of Babel.
Successful,
I really can't go into that at length now, but it says in it, it says it's almost a fairish pasuk that if they would have stayed together and in unity, then they would have been matzliach, they would have had success in whatever they were endeavoring.
You mean by the second one?
By the Tower of Babel.
Mm.
There's one person they didn't get, that was Avram. Mm. Avram was alive at the time, they didn't get him. He's the only one they didn't get.
He was the other.
They tried to get him.
He was on the other side.
They tried it. He was on the other side. Avraham Ivri. He took on the whole world. They tried to get him. He wouldn't do it. He's not doing it. He's not joining together with them. So then why'd they bother building it? If they knew that they had to have everyone, why'd they bother? You're missing one. They are doomed to failure. Why? So the Medrash says because they felt he didn't count because he was impotent. Not just child. He was impotent.
He wasn't
capable of having children.
He wasn't born with the
right. And his wife also.
Yeah.
He was impotent. So you see from that medrash. You see, so they were wrong because even though he was impotent, but that's only because it wasn't time for him to have a child yet.
Yeah,
so when the time came for him to have children, so then he was able to have children. So they made a very, 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 very grave mistake.
And if he succeeded,
so mistake
on the world.
So we make a connection.
That's good. Well, I'm glad that they didn't succeed.
So we make a connection between Avram and Manoach.
Right. So Boaz sort of felt that Boaz's view was they invited the people to his mishnah. They're part of the continuity of the world, and some of this not part of the continuity of the world. So obviously God chose this person to end. Someone that doesn't have children, he just ends, and that's not part. His mishnahs weren't just parties. His mishnahs were to bring people together to continue God's way in the world. So he excluded him, and he was punished for it. He lost all his children. He lost all of his children, and he was wiped out.
Boaz actually thought like the other people and said, "Oh, look, all of them who's impotent and didn't have any kids."
Well, I was the one that made that comparison. That's my own comparison, but I think it's just. It's justifiable. I was just showing you the source for that in the Torah. And so Boaz is impotent, and he was childless. And his wife died, in the middle of Sefer Ruth, his wife died. So he was childless, he was wifeless, and it was the last day of his life. Okay, it was the last day of his life. So Boaz was, when did Ibtson live? So there's a Sefer called Toldos Am Olam, which is a very valuable Sefer if you want to know the chronology. Toldos Am Olam, that he bases everything on Chazal. And he puts Ibtson in the year 2792. So the events 2792 from the creation of the world, which is 3,000 years ago. A little bit less than 3,000 years ago.
And the Sefer Toldos Am Olam tells us that they came into Eretz Yisrael in the year 2488. That's when Yeshua came in. So they came in 2488, and this incident, the set of incidents with Bayez and Rus happened in 2792. That's 304 years later. So this is 304 years after Yeshua went in. And roughly 150 years later, the Beis HaMikdash was built. Right, so you have Bayez, and then you have four generations till David, and then Shlomo is the fifth generation. That's the chronology. Is this clear?
Still don't hear that.
What? So far, so good?
Can you say it one more time?
What part do you want me to repeat?
The four generations.
Lot's part two.
David is four generations after Bayez, and his son Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash.
And so there was 27, from 2792 to 2488 is four generations.
304 years, and then,
what happened at 2488?
They went into Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, it was from
there. 2792 is when Boaz married Ruth.
Lot was from Sarah?
Yes, she was a sister.
She was a sister of...
Yeah.
Lot was her...
Lot and Sarah were brother and sister.
That's only
Ruth's
side, that's
removed. Yeah, it all counts. I mean, this is all part of the calculation. Alright, so that's who wrote Sefer Rus? Sefer Rus is not a history book, as we know. Sefer Rus was revealed in prophecy to the prophet Shmuel. The prophet Shmuel. Well, he was old at the time of David, yeah. It does. He passed away during the reign of King Shaul. Right after King Shaul. So he was the one that was revealed to him in prophecy. The words of Sefer Rus were not made up by some historian to describe the time. They were revealed to a prophet Shmuel in prophecy. And he's the one that was the Mechaber of Sefer Rus. Okay, so that's the historical context. Okay, so Shmuel was the author. The events happened around the year 7092, which is roughly 150 years before the Beis HaMikdash. David,
150 years?
Roughly. Bayez was the father of Oved. Oved was the father of Yishai. And Yishai was the father of David. And David was the father of Shlomo. So it should give you a bit of a perspective. Alright, so the pasuk starts with Vayhi b'mei Shvayit Hashavtim was in the time when the judges were judged. And it tells us about a famine. So I'll read the first pasuk. And the Mitzvah will continue with the first pasuk on Sunday in Yom Rishon. Vayhi b'mei Shvayit Hashavtim was in the day that the judges were judged. It's going to take time. Vayhi rav v'aretz, there was a famine in the land. So Eretz Yisrael was hungry. And a man, it doesn't tell us who, went from Beis Lachem, Bethlehem. He left Israel to live in the land of Moab, which is southeast of Eretz Yisrael. So it doesn't tell us who. It tells us that it was in the days when the judges judged. That's number one. Then there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. An anonymous man went to Moab, that means he left Israel because he was hungry. Who? Him. V'ishtai, his wife. V'shnei banav, and his two sons. So he's not identified, no one's identified. And we'll see in the psukim, the upcoming psukim, that his name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Nami, and his children were Mahlon and Kilian. But the first pasuk doesn't tell us anything about that. So in way of introduction, you see that this first pasuk is not interested in conveying the historical facts. It's not even giving us any information to identify anyone. It's just it's leaving out all identifying characteristics and telling us that there was a famine and someone left. Now, we're talking about personal guilt. We're talking about it was wrong of the person to leave. He made a bad choice. Or maybe he made a good choice. He should have left because he's hungry, you know. So then it would tell us who it is. But the very fact that the Parsha starts out without any identifying marks, characteristics, so that means it's telling us the bare facts that there was a famine and someone left. And it's irrelevant who left. It's telling us, you know, there's a famine, he left. So the Chazal elucidate this. And they comment, you know, this that this famine was Minas Shamayim. The Targum tells us that there were 10 very, very, very severe famines since the time that the world was created until the time of the King Mashiach. So we're bracketing, you know, the period of famines from the time the world was created until the famines, food famine, yeah. When there's no food, when you're hungry.
No, but I'm saying the Torah famine.
That's not what, no. These are famines. And the purpose of these famines are to keep people on the straight and narrow.
So it's, there was,
no,
it
could be we're not finished. Yeah,
does
it's on a list.
A list of how many?
Here's the list. Oh, the
Zoe. There were four great famines.
So
it talks
about,
great famines in
there was
to
a famine
the
in the time of Adam. There was a famine in the time of Adam. I never knew that.
Yeah. I don't either.
Adam?
That was part of Adam's
call. I guess
color.
He asked coats for Dada Tatsmiya. That
it's part of Adam's call.
Thorns and thistles.
Yeah.
That's over Starbucks, sure.
Very good.
No?
There's a famine in the time of Adam. There's another one in the time of Lamech. Lamech is 8 generations after Adam. Lamech was descended from Cain.
So there was one in the time of Adam.
Another one in Lamech. That's about 8 generations later.
Is the Mabel considered a flood?
No.
Melech is Mem, Lamed, and
Lamech. Lamed, Lamech. Lamed, Mem, and Dechav. About Avraham Avinu, there was a famine. Yitzchak, there was a famine.
What was Yitzchak?
He went down to Plishtim.
Yosef, there was a famine.
Yaakov, there was a famine. The Yosef one is Yaakov.
So it's
Adam, Lamech, Avim, Yitzchak, Yaakov.
Yaakov is Yosef's, right?
Yes. Boaz. So this is the sixth one. And the Targum says, Boaz is called Abtson. So the Targum learns his real name was Boaz and he was called Abtson. Boaz is called Abtson. Tzadika is a tzaddik. Demin Beis Lachem Yehud and he's from Beis Lachem.
That's it.
That was more.
Oh, there is more.
So it's interesting. We're identifying the famines and we're connecting them with names. We're connecting the famines with names.
That helps the time error. You know when to put.
Yeah, but then you don't have to talk about Boaz and his other name. He's a tzaddik. He's from Bislachem.
Because it's probably in Megillah source that talks about that.
Yeah.
Possibly.
What was the seventh one?
Seventh one is David.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Melech Yisrael.
When did that happen by David?
I don't know. I wish I knew. The eighth one was Eliyahu HaNavi.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the 10 tribes. There was a big famine in the time of the 10 tribes. The ninth one is in the time of Elisha. Oh, Josh. Oh. And the 10th one is still yet to come. And that will not be a famine for bread. That will not be a thirst for water.
Yeah,
that will be a famine and a thirst to hear the words of prophecy. It'll be a famine
for prophecy.
That's what it says here. The word of God, Piskan Mavua, the word of prophecy.
Josh, he has his own idea of what he wants to hear. Like,
okay. What did you say?
So it sounds like from this medrash, I mean, I'm departing a little bit from the exact wording of the medrash. Sounds like from this medrash that there's 10 fasts, and the 10 fasts are put in the context of creation and Mashiach. It could have just said there's going to be 10 fasts in the world. It doesn't. It says there's 10 fasts from the time of creation until the time of the King Mashiach coming. It accentuates it. It highlights the fact that there's a fast in the time of Boaz the Tzaddik from Beis Lechem. It brings out that David is David a Melech. There's a very strong theme running through these fasts, that these fasts are to bring this world.
Who was
to the Derech Yasher?
What?
Who was Lamech?
Lamech was a descendant of Cain. It is these fasts are part of a process. It's a 10-step process to bring people to a level of Nevi'im, and that was what we were created for from the time of creation. And there's a process, an ongoing process from the time of creation till the time of Melech HaMashiach, which is facilitated in part by these fasts. So these fasts are Mashiach. This is part of the Mashiach process. Okay. That's.
You mean, so you, after the 10th one happens, Mashiach comes?
That's the one we become prophets, right? That's a Mala, Ha'aretz, Deya, as Hashem. That everyone is going to be elevated in the time of Mashiach, and the level of understanding, Torah and Dvar Hashem, is going to be that of the prophets. We're going to be Nevi'im, and we're going to experience Nevuah. Mashiach is not just a kindly, benevolent king that is going to deliver us from our enemies and will establish some type of independence. Mashiach is there to bring us up to a level of Hiskarvus Lashem. And we were created from that. So that's why the Medrash tells us that these fasts are from creation until Mashiach.
Boaz, what's the importance of that he was
this whole fast, that Elimelech and his wife Nami and Machlan Vakilian, they were driven outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, to tell you the truth, as we're going to see, as we get into the Sefer, Chazal find blame with Elimelech. He was a wealthy man. He deserted his people in a time of trouble. He should have stayed. There's some kind of impression that's conveyed that he was trying to save his own money because he didn't want the needs of the populace to be a drain on his finances. And this is the way we learned the Megillah's verse when we were 6 or 7 years old. But Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to relearn it all over again. And there's a much deeper level and a much more a level that's closer to the truth.
What was it? You said something about Boaz's fast, that he was from...
Right, so that's the Targum elaborates on Boaz, that he's a tzaddik and he's from Beis Lechem Yehuda. So tzaddik and Yehuda, I mentioned there.
And also Beis Lechem.
And Beis Lechem, right. This is prominent, the figure's prominently. Everything that happened in Beis Lechem Yehuda. So there's a lot to talk about here.
Beis Lechem slash Yehuda, or it's one name, Beis Lechem Yehuda?
There's no slashes in the Torah. There's no such thing as slashes in the Torah. Alright. I guess, I would like to share with you two approaches that they don't contradict each other. They just, they shed light on one another. There's a Sefer on Megillas Rus, which was published pretty recently, but it was authored by Talmud Chacham by the name of Rabbi Moshe David Vali.
Vali
is Vav, Vav, Aleph, Lamed Yud. Rabbi Moshe David Vali left behind manuscripts. He lived about 300-400 years ago. He was actually a Chavrusa of Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato. And he worked with Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato on some of his Svarim. And he left behind manuscripts, which were not published until... I mean, there's some volumes that are still coming out. But they've been coming out the last 25 years. So Yeshiva has the set.
Are they in Latino or?
It's in Hebrew. We have it. It's right over there.
But didn't Luzzatto work in
I can't answer your question for what
Latino?
He did. I mean, Rav Moshe David Vali wrote it in Hebrew.
It was Latino.
He wrote it in Hebrew.
Yeah,
exactly. And he has a sefer on Chumash and on Tanakh. And what we're about to share, with you, is drawn from his.
What's his initials? Are we using?
You make your own. Ramesh David Vali. Ram Reish Mem Dalav. Rimduv.
Rimduv.
Ramesh David Vali said, "Sefer Rus is a sefer of the creation of Mashiach." This is true on a very basic level because Rus and Boaz were the ancestors of Mashiach.
Right, so that's Parshat. That's the Parshat Pshat. It's the creation of Melech HaMashiach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating Melech HaMashiach.
He did this with Rabbi Luzzatto?
I said that there were some of Rabbi Luzzatto's Sfarim that Rabbi Moshe Dovali worked with him on this. I didn't say the other way around. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto collaborated with Rabbi Moshe Dovali.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough. Okay. And he says a tremendous chiddush. See, the king has to be able to be cruel. You're familiar with the Gemara? The father can be meichel on his covered. A rabbi can be meichel on his covered. A king cannot be meichel on his covered. We saw this live with David HaMelech.
And the dude. What's that?
And Uriah Chiti, the husband of Bathsheba, that he told Uyachiti to go home.
He didn't listen.
And he said, I can't, I have to go to war. How could I go home when my brothers are at war? And he, instead of going home, he slept with the servant of the king, and David HaMelech had him executed. Now, David HaMelech wanted to send him home. If David HaMelech wanted to send him home, so then don't execute him, send him home. Do you know what happened to David because he didn't send him home? People found out about it. I'm just, you know, he wanted to send Uriah home, that he would be with his wife, Bathsheba. And then even though she'd be, you know, she'd show...
He was Chai Misa because he slept with somebody else, or because he was...
He was Chai Misa
because he didn't go home, he didn't listen to
David. To go home.
He slept with somebody else, he was married, so he's Chai Misa.
He didn't sleep with somebody else, he slept in the army. He slept with the people.
We're not discussing what David was. We're discussing Uriah Hachiti. Uriah Hachiti, he slept among them, I'm sorry. He slept among them. So David had no choice. You ask yourself the question. He's trying to stop the Chilul Hashem of people finding out that Bathsheba was impregnated by him. He wants to send Uriah home. He calls him back from the front to send him home, so people will think that Uriah is the father. I mean, I can't discuss all the myriad details of this, but that was his plan, and that's everyone knows that's what his plan was. He called him back from the front, go home. Uriah said, I'm not going home. How can I go home when my brothers are at war? He said, I can't. And he disobeyed the king, and he stayed around the king's palace, and he didn't go home. Tell him finds out in the morning that he didn't go home. He's a married by Malchus.
So he kind of messed David over, but he didn't do. He had to.
Melech cannot be Michael on his covered. His own Rebbe, Shimon ben Gera. Shimon ben Gera. I mean, Shimon ben Gera was the Rebbe of Shlomo. He cursed him. He killed him. He didn't do it himself.
He
let him live long enough to get married, have children, but he killed him. A king has to be able to make those decisions that you have to do what has to be done. Uriachiti was sent to the front. He told the general to make sure that he gets killed. I'm saying there's a certain element of risk in the plan because the bullet can miss. But that's generally a death sentence. They tell him to lead the charge. Yeah, while they're pouring down boiling oil from the walls with 300 archers. A king has to have cruelty. He also has to have compassion. There's no shortage of compassion among the Jewish people. Every Jew is fit to be a king if all you need is to be compassionate. But a king has to be cruel. And there is no... This is Rav Moshe David Vali. It's such a beautiful statement. It should lift you up. He said, there is no cruelty by the Jewish people. How about that? Where's cruelty? Aman and Mayev. The Jewish people... Avraham Avinu did everything for his nephew, Light. He took him with him. He made him wealthy. Light was a very wealthy man. Made him wealthy. He saved his life. Him and his servant Eliezer took on the four kings, and the four kings beat the five kings. So you're basically taking on the world empire. And he rescued him. He did everything for Light. And in return, Light's descendants, and it wasn't that many generations later, four generations later. Yeah, Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi. No?
Alan.
What did you say?
No, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Levi.
Oh, they're calling him.
Kahas. Amram Moshe. Six generations later. Six generations later, Jewish people are going through the desert. They have no food. They have no water.
Airbags.
They have miracles, but no food, no water. The only thing they have is protein. They had meat. That's about it. But, you know, according to some views, they could only eat meat if they brought a carbon. So they didn't even have that. And they want bread and water, and they want to buy it, and Amon Amarev says no. Number one, they're cousins. So many ways. Light was Sarah's brother. Light was Avram's nephew. You can't get more related than that. They're descended from Light's daughters. That means that their great-great-grandfather was a cousin to Avram, and their great-great-grandmother was also a cousin to Avram. They have no other blood inside of them besides the Klal Yisrael's blood. And they won't sell them bread and water. Why? Cruelty. So Moshe David Vali says, Hashem said that Melech of Klal Yisrael needs to have cruelty. That means a Melech from Klal Yisrael has to come from Amon and Moav. Now how are you supposed to get cruelty from Amon and Moav? They're not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. They're evil. Because there's one. I mean, there's more than one. There's actually two. But right now we're going to discuss one. One was Ruth and one was the wife of King Shlomo, which was four generations later. There was Ruth, who was David's great-grandmother, and there was Naama, who was Shlomo's wife. And that was it. That means the entire nations of Amon and Moav had no redeeming social value. But they existed because they produced two, that anyone that marries these two will produce children that will be able to be a king of Klal Yisrael.
Why is this so hard to have that?
Oh, that's a good question. The daughters of Light, they committed something which the Torah said was improper. So I'm not, the Torah said it's improper. But let's discuss their motivation. Stein and Amaya was destroyed. So they did something which was wrong, but their kavana, their intention, was to save the world. Okay? What does Mashiach do? He does something right to save the world. So they had a spus. Amon and Moav had a spus. Or their mothers. Their mothers had a spus. That even though they were misguided, even though what they did was considered tuma, but the kavana was not tuma. The kavana was to save the entire world. So Mashiach comes to them. That's amazing. But not through the men. Because the men inherited the tumah gene through the women. Through the women. And not just any woman. We're going to see this Rus, and then she had a sister, Arpa. There was a selection process. Not just any woman. So Moshe David Vali said that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the famine. Why did he bring the famine? Because Elimelech was from Elimelech, and Nami, and the children were descended from Yehuda. And Yehuda is going to be the progenitor, the ancestor of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael and Mashiach. And Yehuda needs to unite with Amon and Moav. Now if Elimelech is in Beis Lachem and Rus is in Amon and Moav, people from Beis Lachem did not travel to Amon and Moav. It was not a place for any...
It's far away also.
It was not a place to be. It was such a place of spiritual impurity that no decent human being would ever go there. No decent law-abiding, upright, moral person would ever go there. So how would it ever join? Hashem brought a famine. Which means that this entire famine had nothing to do with Bechira. Hashem is doing this. The Bechira starts after this. We discussed this before in other venues.
that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Bechira once he presents us with a certain set of choices. But the setup of those choices is not under our control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides what choices we're going to choose, and then we choose it. So the first pasuk has nothing to do with anything personal, with any, it's a generic statement. The world needs a famine. Mashiach can only come through a famine. That's one of the things, one of the parts of the process. Things have to come together. And then the next pasuk talks about who it was, or what the names were. It's very pasha. It's like,
I understand why the king has to be cruel. Why does Mashiach have to have a level of
cruelty? Chas v'shalom, a king doesn't have to be cruel. He has to be able to exercise the mid of cruelty.
Fine.
He can't be cruel.
He has to have the ability to be cruel.
To exercise cruelty. To act in a cruel manner. But in his heart, he can't be cruel at all. Does that answer your question?
He needs to be able to act cruelly.
Exactly.
Why does Mashiach need that same characteristic?
He's a king.
And Mashiach is a king?
Mm-hmm.
Melech Mashiach.
So what went wrong? You know, Chazal still say that they speak about Eli Melech in terms of failure. What did he do wrong? He was set up.
He didn't have to choose to go.
It seems that choosing to go is what Hashem wanted him to choose. You know, that's not Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Na'ik Shema Olam, Hashem manipulates the world in a way.
She could have come to him.
The Ramesh David Vali says that going down was not the problem. It was his kavana when he went down. If he would have gone down like this, I'll paraphrase him. I want to stay in Eretz Yisrael. I can't. I don't have enough. We're starving, the family, this and that. And he's trying to hang on there. And the family gets... He was rich. So he lost everything, though. He lost everything.
He's rich, he can, like, even if there's no food, he can still... Yeah,
yeah, well, in Eretz Yisrael, he was rich. All the calculations, he just doesn't see how he can make it. It just, the numbers don't add up. He spoke to his accountant, the numbers don't add up. The only way he could stay is a nace, and ain't sent for all nace. And then the next step. He's a tzaddik. Why is Rabbi Yisrael doing this? It must be because Rabbi Yisrael has a reason for me to go elsewhere. Does he know what it is? Not necessarily. But he knows that Rabbi Yisrael wants him elsewhere. Where is there food? Amunim Layev. So if there's no food here and there's food there, you know, Avraham Avinu. I'm just saying, if he would have done this, Eli Melech. Avraham Avinu did it. Avraham Avinu did it twice.
Yaakov also.
Yitzchak did it. Yaakov did it. The Shvatim did it. You hear? He's also doing it.
Wait, but the
Shvatim
is not Avraham.
Right. Right. I'm not saying yeah. There is a difference between what they did and what he did, because they were told by Hashem to do it, and he made his own calculations. But even though he made his own calculations, he could have been making them properly if he had the attitude that he's going there to be Mekayim Ratzon Hashem. And then Machlon and Kilya and his sons would have met, you know, either Rus or Arpa. They would have had a proper L'shem Shemayim marriage. And he'd come back to Eretz Yisrael and start the process of Mashiach.
Wouldn't Boaz come out of Elimelech and Naomi from there?
Boaz was Elimelech's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
What was the problem? That there was something lacking in his kavana. He didn't see himself as in the hands of the Hashgacha Pratis, of the divine supervision or divine intervention. And he went, you know, there was something missing of his, someone of his level, someone of his stature, some of his tzitkis. He went, you know, for some self-serving interest. So Ramesh Damavali says that there was no shortcoming, no failure in what he did. It was all min hashamayim. It was just in the way he went about it. So that's it.
Was he punished for this? Or
yes, he lost everything. He lost everything. There's a lot of Ramazim in the Pasuk, Eli Melech. If you break it apart, Eli Melech. What does Eli Melech mean? The king is coming to me.
Are we stopping here?
If you'd like, we could start.
Yeah,
okay, Spesera, so Mitzvah Shemat Sunday, we'll start the Megillah. This is a new introduction.
There we go.